Evan Roberts. Tiki Barber. It's Evan and Tiki on WFAN, The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
A very merry and happy Football Friday for the final time for our local football teams of 24-25. Welcome in to Evan and Tiki on this Football Friday. But it's not just a Football Friday. It's also V-Day. Because today, at Florham Park, New Jersey, and this is the way I envision it, Tiki, a big, studly individual named Mike Vrabel walked into an office. And Woody Johnson, and get your head out of the gutter when I say this, got down on his hands and knees and said, "Please save us! Please save me!" Isn't that really how the interaction should have gone today in Florham Park as Mike Vrabel interviewed for the Jet head coaching
job? Probably not that dramatic, but maybe a little less, but akin to that. Yes, absolutely. Mike Vrabel's got the reputation. He's got the success in his previous stint. He's got the background with Bill Belichick, obviously, and he's just a winner, right? No matter what he's done as a player, as a coach, he's found success. And the question will be, what is going to make the Jets interesting to him?
That's the key question,
it's not
bro.
Not the other way around.
Yep.
Because the Jets are clearly interested in him, or should be, at the very least, highly interested in him. But what's going to make the Jets interesting to him? And I got to tell you, there are some good players on that team, but the disaster media-wise that has been projected about the Jets, it's going to make the job of Woody and Jaime and all those other guys over, it's going to make it really hard to get a guy like Mike Vrabel to be there.
Well, look, I could give you a list, and I probably will at some point today, on why Mike Vrabel is perfect for the New York Jets.
Mm-hmm. But I think everybody knows that, right?
Everybody, I agree with you. And that's why I'm not even going to start there, because I think we all know it. I think that if you're a Jet fan who doesn't want Mike Vrabel to be the head coach, I'm confused by you. Like, I wouldn't fully understand it. Now, I'm not here to tell you it's a magic elixir, because the one thing about sports is there are no guarantees.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't tell you Mike Vrabel takes the job, and I guarantee you the Jets are back in the playoffs, or they're winning a championship. But I think, considering where they are as a franchise, he's a perfect option for a myriad of reasons, which we will get to. But I agree with you, Teague. I think most of us are on the same side. So really, it's how can a franchise that has been so pathetic for a ton of different reasons. Pathetic because of the news that's come out around them over the last few months.
Mm-hmm.
Pathetic because all they've done is lose now for a decade and a half. Pathetic because they have an owner that I'm sure most prospective head coaches probably won't want to work for. Pathetic because of the quarterback situation, which will be job A for you once you take over. How do you convince someone who's going to have his pick of some pretty interesting head coaching jobs in Mike Vrabel, how do you convince him to take your job?
Yeah.
Like, the analogy is, we're the ugly dweeb in high school, and we're going up to the hottest girl, and we're asking her out. At least we've got the guts to ask her out, but how do we convince her that we should go out together?
Let's go there for a second. How did that work in high school? What did you do, Evan?
Wow. Well, what I did is I became friends with them.
Right.
And then I never got the date with them.
I'm a loser.
But I would be like the kind friend.
But that's how you have to do it. At least that's how they do it in the movies. Is right. You got to just be nice and kind. And what do you need me to do? Can I go get you coffee?
Well, but you can't get too desperate, can you?
You just have to, it's a fine line, right? You have to be on the border of, I'm really interested in you, but I'm not desperate in you, but I'll do anything for you.
Well, okay, so let's role play a little bit. Obviously, I opened the show by role-playing as if I was getting on my hands and knees mm-hmm. and begging Mike Vrabel to take the job. That is not the right approach.
No.
Now, as a fan,
but that's on the desperate side.
Yeah, that's not going to work.
No.
So here's how I would approach this if I'm Woody Johnson. And I know Woody's not the only guy in the meeting, but he's the main guy in the meeting. He's the person that, if you're Mike Vrabel or you're any other prospective head coach, you need to hear from in terms of taking this job.
Right.
Now, besides offering him a lot of years and a lot of money and a lot of power, here's what I would say if I'm Woody Johnson, and tell me if this would be effective. Coach Vrabel, first of all, thank you so much for coming in.
Oh, appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Everything you've heard about me, everything you've read about me, It's true.
Oh, you can't say that. Stop.
I'm not done yet.
All right, go ahead.
Now, you got to ask yourself, why am I doing? Hold on. Everything you've heard about me, everything Diana Russini and Zach Rosenblatt have written about me, The Athletic, even though I do not spend the money on a monthly basis to buy The Athletic, but I've heard about it. Jaime has sent me clips, and I've seen them. I don't even know who Jaime is, but people have mentioned his name, so I'm just referring to him.
Really good guy.
Oh, I'm sure he's a wonderful guy. So Jaime sends these clips, and it's true, Coach, but here's the thing. I know I need to change, and I want to change, and I believe this is a watershed moment for our franchise. I've tried like the Dickens. That's how Woody speaks. I've tried like the Dickens to win over these years, but I admit I've been my own worst enemy. I've gotten too involved. I've gotten too handsy. I've let Brick get way too involved. I've let him influence me with Madden ratings.
Right, hold on. Who's Brick?
Brick is my son. He's a wonderful kid.
All right, he's banned from the facility.
That's what I want to hear, Coach, because I know that I've made mistakes, and I want you to be the guy to help turn everything around, and I'm going to give you my promise, and I'll even write down in this contract, I'm going to give you my promise, my word, and in documentation, I'll write it down as well, that I will not interfere. I will let you run this franchise the way it seems fit. And so I just want you to know that you will hear a lot of rumors about me. They're true, but I'm here to tell you I'm changing and you're a part of the change.
That's an interesting way to go about it.
Now, like that
you,
one?
You probably can't say it exactly like that because it's kind of like scary.
But it's honest.
True, it is honest. But I think back to when Sean Payton took over the head coaching job in New Orleans from the Bensons. Tom Benson, I forget his wife's name, but she's still alive. He passed away a few years ago. But we remember how bad the Saints organization was.
Yeah.
I mean, talk about the invention of the paper bags on your head. They needed a coach, and I don't think we knew at the time that it was Sean Payton, but it was Sean Payton who not only put a good product on the field and got lucky with Drew Brees and all these other things. They win a Super Bowl. But he taught the organization how to be a winning organization.
Right.
Now, that came from a lot of places, from Sean, obviously, being here with the New York Giants, working under Bill Parcells down in Dallas and almost potentially taking that job. So he had a lot of mentors, but I think you need someone who has been in an organization that's had success and can replicate it at the new spot, right? So what you're saying about Woody Johnson reaching out to Mike Vrabel and imploring him to not only fix the product on the field, but help create the organization that can be sustainably successful, that is the most important thing that they have to
Absolutely.
Do when they hire a new coach.
Yeah.
And this is why, when we go back to the conversations we've had, I think last week or maybe yesterday, we don't want a first-time young head coach.
Right.
That's why you can't have that.
Yeah.
Because it's not an organization that has a culture or history of success. And so you need someone that has it, that can bring it and change it.
And what I
right?
wonder...
It's almost like the rock going uphill.
Yeah.
But you need that, right? Well, and it's hard. It's hard to push a big, heavy boulder uphill. But the Jets need that. And they need a coach who can bring it.
Now, how do you convince Mike Vrabel that that difficult job of pushing the boulder up the hill is the job for him? And I think the other angle you've got to take is you've got to remind him that if you win here, it is more special than winning anywhere else.
Right, because it hasn't happened in so long.
Yes. Yeah,
and it's New York.
And it's New York. And the Jets are the LOL Jets. And you would be the one to solve that. And this is something that Knicks fans have talked about. This is something Met fans have talked about. This is something some of us, as New York sports fans, Yankee fans don't talk about it because you've won a lot. Giant fans don't talk about it because you've won a lot in the past. Like, you don't get to use this as an angle. But we do. And, like, it hasn't necessarily worked. But it is an angle to Mike Vrabel of, hey, look, if you end up going back to New England and you win there, you'll still never be Bill Belichick.
Right.
Like, you go win a bunch of Super Bowls there, you'll never be Bill Belichick. Like, if you go to Chicago and you win there, it'll be great. They'll celebrate you. I'm not trying to minimize it.
Right.
But it won't be the Jets because they'll just point to the 85 Bears.
Right.
If you win here, it is more special than winning anywhere else. And we think you can be the guy to do it. And I would think, you tell me if I'm crazy here, as a professional athlete who didn't grow up here, but understands New York and certainly understands how pathetic the Jets are from the other side.
And the fan base and the chaos and the media and everything.
But that's the negative side. But the positive is you do it here.
Oh, that's what I mean.
You're a king.
That's what I'm talking about that. The fan base, if you win and you're great and you create a legacy, they don't forget.
Right.
Ever.
Right. Right.
If you, the media, the same way. The media wants to write good stories. The problem is our football teams aren't giving them good stories to write.
Mm.
Right. They're there. You can talk if you want to about the Malik Nabers of the world and the Tyrone Tracys and some of the successful, Jet guys as well. But it just, it's not big enough to overcome the massive failure that the teams have been.
Got to win.
And so media has to write what they have to write. Those little stories don't move the needle. It's the big ones that do. And so winning is the only thing that brings that. So the fans and the media, I think the player, like everybody wants and needs success. It's just you got to have the right leader and you have the right culture. Vrabel is that guy.
No doubt.
The hard thing is going to be convincing him that Woody's not going to be meddling, that he's not going to make emotional decisions or lean on opinions that don't go through him, meaning through Vrabel, and kind of throw things out of whack.
Well, that's why when I am imploring Mike Vrabel to take this job, and I'm not doing it in a desperate way, there's a four-point sell that I'm giving him. Point number one is the money. Obviously, let's just start right there. You got to pay people a lot of money. There's a reason why Juan Soto's a New York Met. Not just because he likes the colors orange and blue, okay?
Yeah, and by the way, you can pay him because you know he can be successful.
Absolutely.
It's not like paying a first-time head coach who you're like, this could crash out
right
in 3 years.
Right.
And I'm stuck, or actually in 2 years, and I'm stuck on a five-year contract
right.
paying it out. That's likely not to be the case with Mike Vrabel.
Right. So offer him a lot of money.
Right.
Number two, offer him the control he needs. Mm-hmm. And that is including Woody Johnson.
And wants.
And that's including Woody Johnson giving his word and writing it down in a contract. I'm not going to get involved. I'm not going to jump in and cite Madden ratings on a trade that you and the future general manager are concocting. I'm going to let you make decisions. Now, if 5 years go by and the playoff streak still hasn't ended, I may fire your ass,
right.
But that's sports. That's number two.
By the way, yeah, that should be a part of it. Put an ultimatum in there.
Yeah.
We haven't been to the playoffs in 14 seasons. If you don't make it by year three, you're out.
Yes. By the way, I agree with that.
I don't care how good your progress you think we are.
No.
There is an ultimatum in this contract. I'm giving you 3 years, but if you can't do it, you're out.
I like that. The ultimatum in the contract plus the pledge, I will not get involved.
Yes.
The next thing I'm adding is I'm selling what you mentioned, and that is, if you win here, you're a god.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron Rodgers knew that. Jalen Brunson knows that. Francisco Lindor knows that. They know that. I would push that, but here's the fourth thing, the little secret sauce.
Pete Alonso knows that. Oh, wait.
Nah, we'll see.
Sorry.
We'll see if he knows that.
Too soon?
He hasn't left yet, so it's not too soon.
Okay.
Here's the fourth thing that's really, really important. Sometimes you got to play dirty. Sometimes you got to, we just came out of a political season. Sometimes you have those negative campaign ads. Here's the ultimate negative campaign ad to get to Mike Vrabel. You can tell he doesn't like Bill Belichick.
Mm.
You can tell.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's in the past. It's when they coached against each other. It's the shadow. Even though he's not even from the Bill Belichick coaching tree, he just literally played for Bill Belichick.
I know. That's a weird. I don't even know who his tree is.
Yeah, his tree is, who did he work for? I'm trying to remember. Because he was defensive coordinator in Houston. So who was he working with? Was it Bill O'Brien? Maybe it was. I don't remember. Either way.
Well, which is kind of the Belichick tree. But anyway, it's not important.
I guess it's a branch of it.
Yeah.
He doesn't like Bill Belichick, and he wants to stick it to the Patriots. The Patriots didn't hire him last year. The Patriots are not hiring him this year. So your chance to stick it to Robert Kraft and stick it to Bill Belichick and stick it to the New England Patriots in the ultimate way is not just being a successful coach in Tennessee. It's not being a successful coach in Chicago. It's being successful with the franchise that annoys Patriot fans the most. Not because we beat them a lot, but because we're New York. And they obviously know we are superior to them as a city, as a people, the whole thing. That's how you really stick it to those guys. You come to New York, and then you haunt the Patriots the way the Patriots haunted us.
Mm-hmm.
And you do that for the next decade. And I think if you sell Mike Vrabel on those four very important things, maybe, just maybe, the New York Jets can do something they have not done at the head coaching position since the day they hired Bill Parcells. and that's get the guy.
Yeah.
Not a guy that you may not be sure of.
Not the guy you're settling for.
Right. Not a guy that you think could be the next great head coach or you're settling for, like you said.
Or retreading or, you know what I mean? Because there's certain of these older head coaches that you're kind of like, it just feels like a retread.
Right. Ron Rivera feels like a retread.
Yeah.
You know, Mike Vrabel has had more winning seasons in his coaching career than Ron Rivera has?
Yeah.
Think about that for a second.
And probably more double-digit win seasons than Ron Rivera.
I think so. Remember, Ron Rivera made the playoffs twice with losing records, which is kind of an incredible accomplishment.
It's unbelievable.
So this would be such a watershed moment for the Jet franchise. It doesn't guarantee anything, but I can tell you, being around here for the hiring of Robert Saleh, the hiring of Adam Gase, the hiring of Todd Bowles, the hiring of Rex Ryan, the hiring of Eric Mangini, the hiring of Herm Edwards, the hiring of Al Groh, like, you go down the list, this would be different.
Same old Jets.
And this would add a level of credibility that this franchise desperately needs. So I know the meeting has been completed. Jets have already tweeted it out. We completed our meeting with Mike Vrabel. I hope that Woody Johnson addressed, A, the elephant in the room, which is him, and then B, sold him on the things he needs to sell him on, because Mike Vrabel being the head coach of the New York Jets would be one huge positive that maybe can help turn this franchise around.
It'd be the first time where you're not questioning whether or not the guy can get it done.
That's right.
Right, because he's done it before. Even with Rex, I don't know what I thought about Rex when Rex got the head coaching job, because he hadn't been a head coach before.
No, I thought the same thing I thought with every other first-time defensive coordinating head coach, which is, I hope he's the guy.
Right, but you also knew, he's going to be good for the defense, just like Robert Saleh was good for the defense.
Right.
But is he going to be, bring a balance? Right, so you have a good or at least a serviceable offense that can also win you football games, and they did because they ran the heck out of the ball. So it was really old school, but that was such a generation ago. Like I can't even remember what it felt like when he came.
So what it felt like, I will tell you how it felt. First of all, he won the press conference. Now, what does that mean? Joe Judge won the press conference.
By the way, it is important to do that.
It's important to do it, but it's not the end all be all.
It is not, but if you lose it, it is really hard to gain.
Adam Gase.
Gase, McAdoo.
Yes, McAdoo.
Right? Even Shermer. Right? If you lose that, it's like, oh, God, I don't know.
Right.
That's the last thing you want someone saying is, I don't know.
But if you win the press conference, you gain yourself a little extra.
Right.
Remember,
and that was awesome. I can't wait to see the product on the field.
Dan Campbell won the press conference. 100%. We still talk about it all these years later. But what Rex did at the press conference was the thing and the shtick that he did for the next 5 years, which is, we're going to go meet the president. Yep. It was Obama at the time. We're going to go see Obama. We're going to go to the White House. We're going to win championships. I'm not going to kiss Bill's rings. Like, he gave you all that bluster, and we all loved it. We ate it up. So you asked me, like, what did we do at the time? We all loved his press conference. But we all didn't know what he was.
Uh-huh.
Mike Vrabel's different because we know what he is. Now, when we come back, we'll get your calls, 888-808-1019. How do you sell Mike Vrabel on this job? And do you want Mike Vrabel? Are there actually Jet fans who wouldn't do everything to have this guy take the job? But as desperate as I may have sounded over the first 20 minutes, I do have one thing I need from Mike Vrabel. I'm promising him a lot of stuff. There's one thing that if I'm Woody Johnson, before he leaves my office, I make him pinky swear that he will promise me on one particular thing. I'll let you know what it is coming up. We'll get to your calls, 888-808-1019. As much as I want Mike Vrabel to be the head coach of the New York Jets, and I'm willing to sell him on many, many things to get him to take that job, I do have some standards. And there are certain things and certain lines that cannot be crossed.
Like?
So what I would say to Mike Vrabel is, I am well aware of what he did a little over a year ago when he was inducted into the New England Patriots Hall of Fame. And during a bye week, he showed up, he received his honor, and then was hanging out with Bob Kraft in his suite. That will not happen as head coach of the New York Jets. There will be no hanging out with a Robert Kraft. There will be no canoodling with Robert Kraft. There will be no niceties with Robert Kraft and the New England Patriots.
You want to own Mike Vrabel's time attention and loyalties.
I want him to realize that they are our enemy. And we don't canoodle with our enemies. We don't hang out. We don't say nice things.
We don't get back massages from them.
Even with all the history that he has there?
Yeah, it's done.
The championships?
Yeah.
The pedigree that he developed?
Yeah.
Really?
When Roger Clemens was a New York Yankee, did he go back and say, oh, the Red Sox, I love you guys. Oh, it's fantastic. Oh, it's great. Wade Boggs was a Yankee, did he ever go back?
Aren't we in a different, like, society now?
No.
We don't hate our opponents anymore. Hell, we trade jerseys with them and sign them on the field. I saw that the other day.
Need I remind who said you're dead to me, tongue-in-cheek, when Saquon signed with the Eagles?
That's right. You're the king of this. You're dead to me.
That's all because he's going to kill us for the next 4 years.
Well, I want Mike Vrabel saying very politely to the New England Patriots, you're dead to me.
You're dead to me.
That's all he's got to do. And just never canoodle with them ever again. Now, when his career is over and he retires as a 20-year head coach of the New York Jets, and he's won his Super Bowls, he has every right to honor his playing career by going back to Foxborough. But as he coaches the New York Jets, the canoodling ends.
Can he even go out to dinner when the Jets play the Patriots up in New England?
No, the enemy, no.
No, only the Winnipeg Jets can go out to New York.
What if Robert Kraft invites him over to his house for a private, soiree?
No, soiree. Well, with Bob Kraft, I don't know what that is. No. They are the enemy. And so what he did a year ago, and there are rumors out of Tennessee that ticked off Titan ownership, and that was a part of why they moved on from him.
Or they just weren't good.
They had two bad seasons in a row.
Run its course.
Yeah, maybe that's it. I mean, I think that may have been something that annoyed them.
Yeah.
But it would annoy me more because of the history between the Jets and the Patriots. Like, it is, to me, much more personal if he ever does that. So that would be my one condition of Mike. You better win, okay? I'm giving you a few years. I'm giving you all the assets. I'm giving you all the power. I'm giving you the money. But you need to Rex when you talk about the Patriots, because Rex did that perfectly.
Hate him.
Yeah. Gotta hate him.
Hate him. Don't give him any respect. Disrespect him. If you're friends outside of it, fine. But we don't want to hear about it.
Amen. Coming up in the next 10 minutes, we will let you hear another reason why Mike Vrabel would be so good as head coach of the New York Jets, how he handles the media. Far different than Robert Saleh, far different from Brian Daboll, and in a way that I think would excite us as Jet fans. We'll get to that coming up in 10 minutes, 888-808-1019. Let's go to Frank in White Plains. How are you, Frank?
Nevin, you remember I used to call you and Joe and complain about Wolfman?
Yes.
All the time?
Yes, I do remember. Yes.
And Nevin, I'm telling you, this guy Johnson, Willie Johnson, is the worst probably still. He's just like, what's the Wolfman? This guy, you are a kid compared to me, Nevin. I have a respect for you, but you're going to be 75 years old when you're going to see New York Jets win the Super Bowl.
Well, you may be right that I may be 75 years old, but I'll tell you why, as bad as Woody is, he's not as bad as the Wilpons at the end. Woody Johnson, there are a few factors that make you a bad owner, in my opinion, okay? There's different levers of badness that make you a bad New York sports owner. Number one is being too handsy with the franchise. Now, you have every right to do it. You own the team.
But that's the one that pisses off the fan base the most. Especially when it doesn't work.
When you're involved.
When you're involved and you're making decisions and you're, let's not sign Jerry Jeudy, who just had 1,100-yard season because his Madden rating's too low. Whether or not the truth of that story is there or not, but whatever. It's just an indication of being too involved in football stuff when you're not the football guy.
100%.
Right.
Handsiness is a problem. You even hear it from Giant fans about John Mara, whether it's true or not.
Right. It's not true, by the way.
And certainly Met fans have said that over the years about the Wilpons. So lever number one is being too handsy, too involved. James Dolan used to have that issue years ago, getting involved in the Carmelo Anthony trade. The second lever is when you're cheap. Okay? The second lever is when you're a billionaire owner and you're not, to our kind of focus as fans, spending enough.
Yeah.
Woody Johnson hasn't necessarily done that.
No, I wouldn't even think that with the Jets. I mean, think about how expensive it was, relatively, obviously, because it's cap money and it's all fungible, to get Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
Right. That was an expensive proposition, and it was a gamble, and it was a risk. But all that guaranteed money that he had, that still had to come into escrow. Right? That had to leave Woody Johnson's pocket and go into an account that is waiting for Aaron Rodgers whenever they decide to give it to him. So I think that cheap is not even in the conversation.
And that was in the conversation with the Wilpons.
Right. That's why it's not a good comparison.
Right, which is why with them, and by the way, the Mets still accidentally went to a World Series in 2015, they had the double levers of negativity as a bad owner. They were too involved and too handsy and didn't spend enough money. I don't think Woody Johnson or John Mara has the money issue.
Right.
Like, I don't think that's what we're complaining about necessarily. In Woody's case, and yes, I agree, it's more hope that I have than anything, is that the embarrassment of not just the failures over the last few years, but the embarrassment of the stories that have come out over the last year, whether true or not, there's always some kernels of truth to it.
Right.
I am hoping embarrass Woody Johnson enough to know I can't be that handsy and involved. I have to let someone run the show. And Mike Vrabel, of all the candidates that are out there, has the strongest resume of showing you, I can be the guy.
Well, not only that, he wants to do it. I think that some head coaches, they want input on personnel. I want this type of guy. Go get me this big 290-pound, whatever. But not specifically watching film, evaluating. I want this guy in particular. And I think if there is one thing that Mike Vrabel kind of learned from Bill Belichick, it's that.
Mm.
I want this particular player, not someone like him. I want this guy. And you go get that guy, and you have control over getting that guy. At least Mike Vrabel can do that.
Well, this
at least
is
in theory. That's what he wanted to do more of in Tennessee, and it's why I don't say it was a rift, because it wasn't a rift. They just didn't see as eye to eye as they had earlier on in his tenure as a head coach down there in Tennessee, and it was partly because of that.
Well, and this is why, not just with Mike Vrabel, but even with others, I like hiring the head coach before the general manager, because you need the general manager to pick the right players for said head coach.
Right. You can't have the general manager, and I think this could be the problem with what we were talking about yesterday with the Giants and with Joe Shane. You can't have a general manager drafting to save his job.
Right.
You can't do that.
No, absolutely not.
You have to have a general manager drafting to accent the head coach's job.
Yeah, you need the general manager drafting players that head coach fits what they're trying to accomplish.
Right.
If Mike Vrabel takes this job, and a part of my pitch if I'm Woody Johnson would be, you will get major say in who the general manager is, because I want you to get the players that you want. I want you guys to be on the same page. Like, I don't know why there's this traditionalist thought of you have to hire the GM and let the GM hire the head coach. Maybe that works in the NBA. Certainly that works in Major League Baseball. But in the NFL, I think it's different.
Right.
And that's why I hear the Jets interviewing head coaches, and they're also interviewing GMs too. Lewis Riddick got his interview the other day. You can do both, and it's not crazy or ass backwards, as some say, to get the head coach first.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways, it makes more sense. Let's go to Josh in Philly. How are you, Josh?
Hey, guys. So I would love Vrabel. I don't think there's anything in the world Woody could say that would make this guy think he's just going to change the last 25 years of behavior. So if I'm Vrabel, what I'm really worried about is, look, I want to keep being a coach in this league for a long time. Guys typically get two chances. You got to be really, really special to get that third chance. So I'm looking around the rest of the league and I'm saying, if this doesn't work, what's the stink on me going to be?
Mm.
Do people look at Sala and say, that man never had any idea what he was doing, he was destined to fail? Or do they say, hey, we actually saw some bright spot, it was just a jest, and we give him another opportunity?
That's,
and that, to me, is,
point.
I think,
such a good point, Josh.
What is going to convince Vrabel? Woody, there's nothing Woody could say to change the last 25 years of behavior.
Right. When you have an opportunity for your second head coaching job, it better be the right one. Because he's right. You don't get three chances. It just doesn't happen. Look at Adam Gase. Like, he got his really quickly. Got fired by Miami before he didn't even unpack his apartment, right?
Mm.
He was already the head coach of the New York Jets. Gets fired after, 3 years? 4 years? He hasn't been in the league since.
Here's the difference, though. I think that you're right. Look at Pat Shurmur. Pat Shurmur got his second chance with the Giants.
Yep.
It went terribly. He's never getting a third shot.
No.
Rex Ryan's second chance was in Buffalo. Unless Woody hires him, he's not getting a third chance.
Nope.
What I would argue on is that Mike Vrabel in Tennessee did such a good job. I'd argue a better job. I wouldn't argue, it's a fact. Did a better job than Adam Gase's first tenure. A better job than Pat Shurmur's first tenure. That he did a good enough job in Tennessee that even the stink of the Jets wouldn't keep him from a third job.
It would all depend on how it plays out.
He finished nine games above 500, made the playoffs three times.
True, I know. But
got to a title game with Ryan Tannehill.
I'm just trying to remember or trying to think of what it would, if it got really bad. If you had the last couple of years of Robert Saleh, and that was Mike Vrabel's tenure here, and he gets fired after 2 years or say 3 years.
Yeah.
Are people going to say, yeah, Vrabel's my guy still?
I think what would happen.
I think he would have to take a little bit of a hiatus.
Well, I think it depends on a couple of things. If he comes here and has nothing but losing seasons, 6-11, 5-12, and the Jets just jet, nothing changes, then I would agree with you. He would probably have to take a step back, maybe go back and be a defensive coordinator, something he hadn't done since 2017, and try to rebrand himself and possibly get a third opportunity.
Right, because he's still young. He's not even 50 yet.
Right. But what if his tenure here is similar to Rex's tenure here? They have a couple of good years. And then it flames out. I don't think that would be enough of a stank for him to never get a head coaching job. So I think it depends on what he does when he's here.
Yeah.
And are we assuming? And see, I don't think Mike Vrabel assumes this because I think he has enough confidence in his own ability to not think he's going to come here and have four non-playoff seasons, finish under 500, and be gone. Like, what head coach, especially one with confidence, actually thinks that's going to happen to them?
Well, none. But you have that major question about who's your quarterback? And the one thing that, we talked about, what would make Mike Vrabel want to come to the New York Jets? One, it's a young roster. There's a lot of talent on this roster. But the thing that you kind of get wary of is who's playing quarterback.
And that's the advantage the Bears have, because they can 100%. Answer that with Caleb Williams right away.
100%. You can help groom this kid or whoever you hire on your staff, because he's not the offensive, game planner like Kyle Shanahan or Sean McVay, but whoever you hire is going to get a chance to make a star out of this young kid who we know can be a star. The Jets don't have that.
They don't have that advantage.
It's not even, I can't even, Aaron Rodgers is most likely not going to be here.
No, there's no chance.
Maybe Jordan Travis, if he gets healthy enough, but again, that's still a long shot. The path for the QB for the Jets is almost as complicated as the one for the Giants.
Well, look, I think when you're looking at the jobs that are out there for Mike Vrabel, and I also wonder, is he going to be willing to sit and wait another year? I mean, he could. He has that option. He could take another consultant job with the Browns or somewhere else and wait.
I doubt it. Yeah, but I think those consultant jobs become, they happen, just like with Robert Saleh, it happens right after you've lost your head coaching job, because you still have all of this knowledge from just being in the game, right? From the team that you were at. You were game planning. You were doing all these other things. You knew all these players. If after a year or so, it's kind of like you're not Johnny come lately.
So he would,
you're not necessarily helping me,
right? So you agree he takes one of these jobs.
I think if he wants to get back into coaching, he will.
Okay,
because if you start waiting, then all of a sudden there are six Ben Johnsons,
right? Allow other young coordinators to get out.
Right, the Bobby Sloans of the world become more interesting.
So if he's going to take one of these jobs, all right, Chicago has the clear quarterback edge because there's a vision there.
Yes,
but the power may not be there in Chicago. I don't think they're just handing him over power to pick a roster.
No, I don't think so.
So that's the advantage the Jets will have.
Well, it's a complicated dynamic in Chicago, just not to get into the weeds there, but with Kevin Warren as the president who came over from the Big Ten, but Ryan Poles is a general manager, so who's actually calling the shots?
Not Mike Vrabel.
Exactly.
But that's my point. That's the advantage, right? That even though Chicago could offer him the quarterback, no one's going to argue that, while the quarterback of the Jets is likely not on the roster. Whether it's Justin Fields or it's somebody else, it's not on the roster. The Bears can offer you the quarterback, but they're also not going to offer you the power that the Jets can offer.
And by the way, if your roster is good enough, who cares about the power?
Right.
You know what I mean?
That's true.
If you go evaluate, let's say that Mike Vrabel leaves right now. He goes to Newark Airport, and he's getting on actually he's probably over at Teterboro or Morristown, taking a private plane, going to some FBO in Chicago, and he goes and he sits down and he compares rosters and everything else with the Bears and the Jets and the situation. He's going to look at the Bears and say, yeah, this is favorable. This is it's less, ownership is inching away, you know what I mean? Because there's the call, just get out of business. And that's why they hired Kevin Warren,
right?
Get a president there so you're not so involved. And you got a general manager, and you got a hell of a roster. There's some good players on that roster. And you got the quarterback. It's just a better situation.
It's tough to argue the Bears' advantage. Now, one thing Mike Vrabel does very, very well, and I like to call this the added bonus, because the reality is you just got to win around here. And how you speak when you answer questions after games.
Oh, he's not good at that, by the way.
Mike Vrabel?
Nah.
Wow. I happen to disagree with you.
He is dour.
I have supplied you with some of my favorite Mike Vrabel versus the media moments.
Okay, it's not going to be open. It might be entertaining.
Entertaining is half the battle.
It's
this
not going to be open.
Let's start with the long-winded question. Let's imagine, which Jet reporter should I pick on today? Costello I like. Samini is okay. Costello. Why not? Okay. He's a good sport.
Right.
Imagine Brian Costello starts to ask Mike Vrabel a very long-winded, dumb question. This is how it would sound with Mike Vrabel.
Conversation about not making the big mistakes and things like that for a couple weeks now. The offense goes out and you get a penalty from one of your key guys on the first series, end up in second and 22 or whatever. What's that say about kind of the message getting through and guys kind of not doing the things that you've been talking about for 3 weeks?
Yeah, that's going to be a quick answer to an incredibly terrible, long question. Just continue to stay consistent and focus on improvement.
See, what I love about that is he very, casually just ripped him apart. I'm going to be very quick in answering your dumb-assian, long-winded, I need to put myself away for a nap question, Costello, that you just asked me. You're an idiot. And then he moves on. Now, I give you my favorite one. This is my all-time favorite. And I'm telling you, just imagine this, Jet and Giant fans, because you guys have been bored to tears by Brian Daboll. Hey, Brian Daboll, you may get fired tomorrow. What's your thoughts?
You just got to focus on today. All you got to do is focus on today.
And there's nothing wrong with that as long as you win. But you have to admit, Sean, as a diehard Giant fan, he put you to sleep.
Not at all.
Oh, shut up. He's the wrong person to talk to.
Not
Tommy,
at all.
You have to admit, Brian Daboll put you to sleep.
Yeah, he's reading off a teleprompter.
Thank you. Thank
Is
you,
that
Tommy.
Really a thing with Giant fans?
I think with some. Not with you, because you love everything that they do. Here is Mike Vrabel being asked, final game of the year, there's nothing on the line. You really care about winning, coach? Why does it even matter to you?
Because it sucks to lose, Gentry.
Trey, ever need to show you anything?
Did you have another thought or no? I'm just curious.
Why?
It sucks. Losing. Awful. That's why I want to win. Because you don't sleep. You want to win for the players that bust their tail. That's it.
I want him to come here and create a t-shirt that says, losing bleeping sucks. And I'd buy that t-shirt.
Right.
But that kind of fire, and obviously you got to win. I get it. Win, 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 win. But I kind of like that fire at these press conferences. Instead of everything's hunky-dory, we love everybody, Mike Vrabel ripping apart Rich Samini, no offense, Rich, it's nothing personal, would be something that we as Jet fans need.
Just for the record, that's not Rich Samini who was asking those questions.
No. They've done nothing wrong yet. No. It's Gentry, that jackass Gentry, whoever that is.
He must have a history with Braves.
I'm sure.
Because he's not going to back away from you, but if you ask a dumb question, he's going to tell you.
Did you just call him Vrabes?
Yes.
We got a problem.
Why?
Can we have a Dabes and a Vrabes in the same town?
Maybe.
Sure
maybe
you can.
Not.
Can we?
Mm.
That's a tough one.
Oh, I apologize.
Yeah, I think Dabes has to give up his nickname.
No, he's no chance.
Vrabes has won 2 playoff games. Dabes has only won 1. So I hear that Dabes has to give it up. He becomes something. He becomes Ball now. We just call him Balls.
I like that.
I mean, he goes for it on fourth down every single time, 4th and 1, except for one time.
That is true. Look, the way you handle the media, it is an important part of your job.
It is, but you can be like that if you're successful.
Yes. Yeah.
You can be like, don't ask me a dumb question because I'm going to give you a you-know-what answer if you ask me a dumb question.
But
you have to win.
But
if you're losing and you're that way, They're gonna turn on you real quick.
But the truth is, they're going to turn on you no matter what. If you lose it fails either
Good
way.
Point.
But if you look at the history of the last 5 years, we're not going to go back that much further, but we can, of Jet and Giant head coaches, most of them have given you the vanilla press conference.
Yes, of course. The boring, I don't even want to listen to you anymore press conference.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Your team stinks. You stink at giving us answers. You're not even telling us anything. And I'd rather be sleeping.
That's right. Now, the best part about Vrabes or Vrabel when he starts mocking Brian Costello's long-winded question is that Brian Costello's going to give it back to him.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, we're going to hear like the back and forth between Vrabes and Costello. And if the Jets are 2-6, at least we'll be entertained.
Yeah, exactly.
At least we'll smile.
Because Gentry wilted like a cheap suit.
Oh,
he's like,
But think about it, Luke.
It's because he knew that Dave Vrabel was right.
It was like Evan in the newsroom when Mike used to confront them. Evan would be like, oh, sorry, sir. No.
That's not true. We used to argue a lot.
When you had that Jose Altuve argument, didn't you back down dramatically? That's what I heard. I mean, from my vantage point, you backed down.
I gave it to him, man. I don't think I won because I would never get the last word in, but no, I would always argue with Mike. It would never end.
We need to.
Like, that was the biggest problem with arguing with Mike is that even if you stood up, it was like it ends in a tie or you just have to walk away.
Yeah. I think if we.
Or at least I tell myself it was a tie.
If and when we're at Jets training camp this year and Vrabel's the coach, we need Vrabel to call Evan an idiot by the end of the year.
That'd be tremendous.
You know what you should do? You got to ask him a 3-minute-long question.
Just to set it up. By the way,
what is wrong with this?
I would wilt at Vrabel differently than Mike because with Mike, he would just argue you to death. Vrabel could physically assault me.
He would never do that.
He could, though.
But you would feel like he could.
Exactly. Like, I'm not saying Mike Vrabel is an assaulter by any stretch.
No, no.
But what I'm saying is if he looks into my eyes 6 inches away and says, you're a dumb redheaded schmuck, like really, I throw you in the garbage can. There's going to be a part of me that's going to think he will.
Mm.
And because of that, I can see myself being like, all right, Brian, okay.
Sure. Okay, can you tell me how to ask that question better next time, please?
That's right. Can you give me feedback on how to ask that
Tiki,
better?
Who wins the arm wrestling match, Vrabel or Dan Campbell?
Oh, that's a good one. I'd probably go Dan Campbell.
Yeah. Bite the kneecaps off.
No, Dan looks like he still picks up tractors and stuff.
Let's go to Mike in Maywood, New Jersey. How are you, Mike?
Hey, I'm good, guys. I'm just a little confused. Like, I always thought, and I don't know when this turned over, like, the GM was always the boss of the head coach. Now, you hire Vrabel. He's the coach. Now, he's got to bring in the GM. I feel like there's just more pressure on Vrabel. I guess maybe Parcells has started turning over. I feel like it's like almost baseball. It's like analytic type of thing. Like they're hand in hand. Like, where's the GM stepping in and be like, no, this coach is out. I'm picking a new guy.
It's interesting you bring that up, Mike, because I feel like a lot of that started happening when owners started getting more involved in, like, not the GMing, but just who they want, like type of players they want. I want this guy because I like them. I met him. He was blah. I want this guy to be the face of my franchise type of thing. And so the general manager just became less of, it's your ship, guide it, you know, take it wherever you want. And everything has to be collaborative. And you got to report to me as the owner. You got to make sure that the head coach or the coaching staff wants those type of guys. And it becomes like a managerial role as opposed to a different leadership type role.
Use logic. I try to follow logic. Forget analytics or any kind of buzzword. An NFL head coach, to me, has the most impact game to game than any other coach in sports.
Right. And if you're an established winning head coach and it is you that the organization wants, the GM just doesn't have a ton of power.
Right. And nor should they. Because in the NFL, sort of similarly to the NBA, but mostly not, you install your system and you want specific type of players that can fit your system. Why would you want a general manager giving you players that in your eyes, your expert eyes as the head coach, doesn't fit your system?
Yeah, it wouldn't make sense.
It makes no sense. So actually, when you ask the question, and not every organization is the same. Like, some organizations have had them hand in hand, some like kind of the Giants with the Joe Shane, Brian Daboll, even though Joe Shane hired Brian Daboll, right?
Yes.
They brought in Joe Shane,
yes.
And then Joe Shane decided, I'm hiring Brian Daboll.
Yes.
We just assume they're hand in hand because they both came from Buffalo. And some organizations, yes, it's the coach who kind of handpicks the GM. But to me, it makes the most sense for the coach to handpick the GM because they want the right kind of players on their roster.
Yeah, I think if you don't, like if you have a head coach, I'm trying to think who, I can't think of the perfect example here, but where Nick Sirianni, he wants to do a running quarterback type of offense, you know, just use that as a weapon, give you that 11th man to play, a 6th skill position player to play against, and you go bring in an immobile quarterback. It's just not going to work.
It doesn't make any sense.
It makes zero sense. And so I think that at this stage, because quarterbacks are not cookie cutter, and offenses are no longer cookie cutter. It used to be all the same stuff. Every team ran the same thing. It was a copycat league. How many times did you hear that back in the 90s and early 2000s? You don't hear that anymore because it's not a copycat league. Because certain teams can't do the stuff that the Eagles do. Certain teams can't do the stuff that the Ravens do. Certain teams don't have the quarterback to do what Patrick Mahomes does. So, like, the copycat nature of the league has gone away. And so you kind of need, like, specifically what you want. And a player and a head coach and a skill position group, like offensive linemen. If you're going to run gap schemes and run your linemen down the field, what if the guy can't move?
Yeah.
Right? So, I mean, it really matters who you, like, having that coordinated. And if it's not, you get disasters.
Yeah. Toll-free number is 888-808-1019. Other possible options for the Jets head coach. Plus, I explained to Sean, who vehemently disagrees with me, why, unfortunately for him, the New York Giants are going to beat the Philadelphia Eagles Sunday in Philly with Tiki Barber on the call.